Good afternoon, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today with your presenters for this week, Carmel O'Donoghue and I, John Bourne. Coming up on the programme today, we have a very special interview with Ronan McMurphig, Field Officer with the Irish Language Unit at the Directorate General for Translations for the European Commission. We'll have a roundup of some of the stories making the headlines across Europe, and we'll have some wonderful eclectic music from France and Germany for your enjoyment as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour and your programme Europe Today. A company based in County Clare looks set to revolutionise the process of DNA testing. UltraTech, which operates from Shannon, is developing a 30-minute DNA testing kit which will reduce waiting times by up to 6 days. It is one of 10 Irish companies to receive €50,000 under the new EU SME Instrument Fund, which was created by outgoing Innovation Commissioner Maura Gagan-Quinn. Tim Cummins of UltraTech says his invention will revolutionise DNA testing, particularly in the area of food.
All the DNA test solutions on the market at the moment need to be sent away to a lab to be analysed, and it takes 4 or 5 or 6 days. Ours will do it on the spot within about an hour or 30 minutes. So you can eliminate, the customer can eliminate food recalls and quarantines. That's the real value for customers, food processors and shops and supermarkets.
Farmers across the country are being invited to attend the EU stand at the National Ploughing Championships, which got underway on Tuesday at Ratenske, Stradbally, County Laois. Close on 300,000 visitors attended the event last year, making it the largest of its kind in the world. According to Alicia O'Rourke of the EU office in Dublin, a number of exhibits for children and in particular farmers will be on display at stand number 297.
So for example, Waterbee is a project about smart irrigation and water management systems, and that will allow farmers to save water by irrigating only when and where needed. And the other project that we'll demonstrate in the EU stand is a new technology that can help dairy farmers save time and use their land more efficiently by combining pasture feeding with automated milking.
This is Carmel O'Donoghue for Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM.
The European digital single market needs to be better integrated, says MEPs. Only 14% of the EU's small and medium-sized enterprises trade online. More effort is needed to integrate the EU digital single market, as unlocking the opportunities is key for delivering growth and jobs in e-commerce. Basic coding skills will be a requirement for many jobs in the near future. So, the upcoming EU Code Week could be your chance to learn how to code. This special week takes place from the 11th to the 17th of October, with lots of free events around the country. Check out their website, codeweek.eu, for more details. West Africa's Ebola virus has been underrated by the international community and now constitutes a challenge to global security, said MEPs in a recent resolution. As the affected countries face socio-economic collapse, MEPs agreed that the deployment of military assets under the UN flag should be considered and access to existing treatments speeded up. If you've finished college and would like to see what working for the European Union is like, then you might be interested in traineeships. Check out the europeanmovement.ie website for more details. Ukraine has announced it will not take part in next year's Eurovision Song Contest due to financial constraints. A spokesman for the state's broadcaster said it had to optimise its funds, given the unstable financial and political situation caused by the conflict in East Ukraine. European Ombudsman Emily O'Reilly has opened a public consultation process on the EU-US trade deal negotiations. She says that the process could have a significant impact on the lives of EU citizens. Ms. O'Reilly is inviting the public and interested parties to register their views on the proposed trade agreements, which could boost the EU economy by up to €120 billion a year. Progress has been very slow in drawing down the funds from the EU's €6 billion Youth Initiative Fund. The fund was launched 9 months ago, following an outcry about the 5.2 million young people who could not find work. The European Parliament will debate this with the European Council and Commission this week. 10 Irish small and medium-sized enterprises are among the 155 SMEs, which will each receive €50,000 from the European Commission to finance feasibility studies for their projects. The projects can also benefit from up to 3 days of business coaching, and after that, their projects may be considered for further financial support from the Commission, worth up to €2.5 million. Did you know that if you had problems asserting your rights as an EU citizen or business, there is help at hand? Solvit, a European and Irish single point of contact, can help you with any difficulties that you may come across. Difficulties such as unfair rules or decisions and discriminatory red tape can make it hard for you to live, work or do business in another European country. Check out their website, Solvit, that's S-O-L-V-I-T, for further details. And now don't forget, European Researchers Night is on this Friday. In Dublin, the Discover Research Dublin team from Trinity and the Royal College of Surgeons team is inviting the general public to attend events and activities across their campuses, and also EU House will be hosting the Biodiversity in Our Lives exhibition. This is Carmel O'Donoghue for Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM.
Thank you.
Track from France by an artist called Snapson, Dijon Maya Mai.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
The EU employs as many as 5,300 translators and interpreters, 2,500 of which are working in the Directorate General for Translation, or the DGT, in Brussels and Luxembourg. They translate all subject areas and document types, range from laws or reports from member states, as well as websites. The DGT Translating Service offers a large range of services that include not only translation, but also editing, written and oral summaries, a translation hotline for other EU institutions, web translation, linguistic advice, translation of confidential texts and others. They also create translation memories, such as the Euromiss, and they are currently building up their own machine translation system. Europe Today went to speak to Ronan McMurphy, field officer with the Irish Language Unit at the Directorate General for Translations for the European Commission, in European Commission House in Dawson Street here in Dublin. I began by asking Ronan why he got into translating.
Well, I'm a translator. My three languages that I have are Irish, French and English. And I had a background in translating. I was translating as a freelance. And I did that for a few years, and then I saw an advertisement come up within the institutions, and I decided to apply. So, and as all advertisements go out, it's all to do with competition, so that it's open and fair. I went through a competition, and here I am.
Okay, well, that's how you got into the European Union, in the European Commission House here. But how did you actually get into the translating itself? I mean, you said you were freelance translating.
Yeah, well, what I did was, I mean, I was always interested in languages. And,
right, okay.
Funny enough, I have a background in finance, or in financial services.
Right.
And you'll find actually a lot of translators have varying different backgrounds which is kind of interesting, because we need people with all kinds of different skills, because you don't know exactly what you could be translating from one day to the next. But I went from that, and then I was always interested in languages. I lived in France for a couple of years. When I was a student in France, I lived with a guy who was himself a translator.
All right.
Yeah, and he was an English fella. He had an apartment overlooking the Seine and stuff, so I rented a room off him. But always interested in languages, always interested in translating different cultures and that, because when you do translate, it's not just about translating words, phrases and such, it's about translating a culture, and
right.
You gotta really understand what the culture is about, so that you can really get it across into whatever language you're translating into.
Is there a special sort of paradigms that you have to stay within when you're translating here in the European
Union?
Well,
what we do is, you could actually be translating all kinds of different things, but something like poetry and that kind of thing is literary translation, and it's a particular skill.
Okay.
Depending on languages, a lot of people actually become specialists in certain sectors. So you could have, for example, legal translators.
Right, okay.
You could be economic translators. You could be specialists, as I say, in different sectors, because you'd be au fait with those kinds of things.
Right, okay.
So also there's a little, just to clarify, there's a lot of people who make the little bit confused maybe between what is a translator and what is an interpreter.
Right, which I did myself. But
I didn't want to say that.
Yeah.
So an interpreter then is, he translates the spoken word.
Right.
And translator translates the written word. So an interpreter would be the kind of person, if you were looking at a picture of the European Parliament, for example, and you saw it on the news and you see these booths at the back, that's those people with the headphones on back. They're doing all the talking that you don't hear. But the people who hear that are all the delegates who would be actually in the debating chamber. And they would hear the translations of the interpretations of people in all the different languages. So that's what an interpreter does. It's a real specific skill. As it's translating, but then they are trained in a different way to translate.
Right, okay. Now, what advice would you give to somebody who possibly, I mean, some people would have more than two or three languages.
Absolutely,
maybe,
yeah, yeah.
But is there something within, again, if you're looking for some people
somebody wants to be a translator, the best thing to do, well, if they have some experience in it, then it's obviously a good help. The thing that they must have is, first of all, there's a few basic qualifications. One, you have to be a member of one of the member states.
Right.
You have to have a degree.
Right.
And then if you have the requisite level of language, then you can go ahead and apply. Now, for a linguistic job, you need to have three languages. Right. There are other jobs, obviously, with all the institutions and that, and you only need two.
Right.
So there'll be the, and so as we're talking about the linguistic jobs, I'll stick with that. So basically, you have to have your main language. So mine would be Irish. So you have to have that at a level that's called C2. Now, what does that mean? When you're defining how your level in each language, there's a rubric, if you want to call it that, where we actually go from A1, A2, B1, B2, and C1, C2, where C2 is the highest level and A1 is the lowest.
Okay.
So, basically, you have to have a perfect knowledge of your native language. Then you have to, and with the other two, you need to have at least a C1 level. I hope that's clear.
Right, okay.
So, and then, so you need that in two other languages. So in my case, then I have, and of the all the three, two of them, one of them at least has to be one of the three main ones. So you're talking about English, French, and German.
Right.
Okay. Now, once they've got that, then you apply. Now, the way that somebody should apply is go through a website. It's called the EPSO. So that's the European Personnel Selection Office.
Okay.
Now, the European Personnel Selection Office, then they run competitions. So it's all open for everybody. Okay. And it's fair.
And those details are available on that website.
Absolutely. Right? They go there and they set up their account, and then what they do is they make the application. Now, it's every summer there are language-based competitions. So don't underestimate them. If anybody's thinking about doing, don't underestimate them. You really got to do a bit of work. Not necessarily just on the language, but also you've got verbal reasoning tests and you've got numerical tests. And those are the first tests that you do. The verbal, and they're a bit like some tests that you might do, say, for example, John, to get into, say, the civil service or the Garda, those kinds of things. Yeah. So they're working out how you, and there's lots of little puzzles and things like that. So there should be, so people should not underestimate those, do a little bit of work. It's not that difficult, it's that people need to do a bit of preparation, a good bit of preparation.
Right, okay.
Okay, so that's basically what you do, you go into that. Now, from time to time, there are other competitions. And so the best thing there, again, is to keep an eye on the website, go in from time to time, see what's available. And there's also another thing for anybody, say, who's got a degree, not quite sure what way they're going to go, they can also put in on a traineeship. So with traineeships, then you can with any one of the institutions, and that's for people who have just finished their degree, for example, and they can do a 5-year five month traineeship with one of the institutions, and they do get paid for that as well.
Okay.
So that's.
That's essentially the process of.
There's a process of getting in there. There's also people who want a taster who are just out of college or something like that. I'd really recommend it. Now it's just coming up to the end of a period. They put those out twice a year. We're just coming up to the end of a period where students can actually apply to that. But there will come a second one later on in the year. And all the details there again are on the EPSO website. Right. And just look up traineeships in French. They're called stage. That's typically, even for English speakers, that's typically with the word that's used as well. So there's loads and loads of opportunities. I'd really encourage people to go and have a look at that website. Have a look at, and even if they want to come back to me, then go to EU Ireland, and they'll come onto our own website of the representation here, and you'll find my details. By all means, contact me, and I'll give you all the information that they require.
You said one of the things about the job of a translator is to translate culture. So, I mean, obviously, certain things in one culture might make complete sense, in another culture it makes complete nonsense. So, the difficulties that you've experienced, Ronan, again, if we could touch on that just very, very quickly.
Difficulties is basically something that we spoke about before was basically just really getting your head around what all the institutions are, how you can get that into the translate that in the sense to in the simplest way possible so that people can understand the message. Because very often a lot of the things that are written are being translated from English for talk's sake. But they're not necessarily written by native English speakers. So the English might not be clear. Could not be clear. So there are actually services within the institution to actually say, right, we'll take this legalese and we'll translate it into normal English and then we'll translate it. So there's a lot of that goes on as well. So it's very, very interesting. And but then you obviously want to translate it when things are coming through. Say, you need to have an understanding of the language from which it's coming. So I have translated stuff from in French, and you get some things, these terminology comes up, like that you have to grapple with, and that comes and it makes sense, say, in a French context, but it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, of course, in any other context.
So there's and you do come across funny little things like in Brussels and in amongst the institutions, people talking about I'm going for a training. Well, an English speaker would say, well, I'm going for a training session. But a training on its own doesn't make any sense, you know. And those kinds of things get bantered about all the time, so much so that even English speakers end up using that terminology. So there's a few little kind of cultural things. I can't really just think off the top of my head of something that just went, oh, that really...
Well, no, I often think that, you know, I mean, even just dealing with Irish and the translation between Irish and English, the Irish language has a completely different way of looking at the world than the way when you speak in English.
Yeah.
They have a completely different way of how the world actually interacts with you.
Absolutely.
You know, so then you've also got the difficulty of dealing with, you know, the way people use language in a sort of the way they observe life and the way they observe. And then you've got that difficulty going on as well. So, I mean, that obviously must this comes into the whole part of the job as well, does it?
Yeah, every culture has its own... I mean, a language is like a manifestation of a culture, and every language portrays that culture, and so like there's no one language is odder than another. Every language has its own idiosyncrasies.
Again, if anybody is considering a career like this, is it something that evolves? You need to go on courses on a regular basis, or how far can you?
Well, there
take
is there is constant internal training. And there's constantly training available. Now, I came, as I say, I have three languages, but you could, and I could, learn more languages. And there's other forms of training that you can do that are provided by the institutions as well. So it's a fantastic place to work.
Right.
There's lots of benefits. People are very good to work with. And it's a really good multicultural experience.
Yeah.
So anybody who's thinking about it, I would say to them, absolutely go ahead. Take the entrance exams as quite seriously. Yeah, as I say, it's not that they're difficult, but if you don't prepare, then you won't do well in them. So it's do a bit of preparation and put in apply, and see how and make sure you give it your best shot.
Okay.
Because it really is worth it once you're in there.
I think that'll do us for the moment, Ronan. Thanks a million for taking the time out to talk to us here on Europe Today.
You're very welcome.
Thanks a million, Ronan. Yeah.
That's what they're listening to in Denmark. It's a track called Indianer, and it's by an artist called Barbara Maleko. Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week's, folks. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. Again, a very, very special thank you to Ronan McMurphy, Field Officer with the Irish Language Unit at the Directorate General for Translations for the European Commission. Don't forget to check out our website portal, europetoday.ie, which will have a podcast of today's programme and links to the various items that we've mentioned today as well. Join me again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week on your programme Europe Today.